Lutheran Student Leaders Conference, meeting in St. Louis, Missouri at Concordia Seminary on November 9th and 10th, 1962, had as its keynote speaker Dr. Oliver R. Harms. John Stelling of the student body introduced the president of the student association, David Lutz, who in turn introduced the president of the seminary, Dr. Fearbringer, who introduced Dr. Oliver R. Harms, president of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
First of all, the litany that was placed on every other seat will be used as a closing devotion immediately following Dr. Harms' address to the group. At tomorrow morning, then, reminder that breakfast will be served in the same place where most of you had supper, that is from 7 till 8 a.m. Chapel will be held in this same chapel auditorium at 8:20 when our student body gathers for its morning worship. Our first session after that will begin at 9 a.m., which will be in C Hall, room 101. At that time, Dr. Charlin will have the first part of our Bible study, The Church is the New Israel, and that will begin at 9. We ask all of you to be sure and bring your Bibles and New Testaments along at that time. After the conclusion of our litany, and we conclude here this evening, we would invite all of the delegates to again go back to Lober Hall where refreshments will be served. And now to begin our, as Dave Watson, the person I'm going to introduce, said, our ascending line of introductions, and I might as well be the first one, he said. And we will ask him to introduce Dr. Fearbringer and Dr. Fearbringer to introduce Dr. Harms. So a student among, a leader among student leaders, Dave Lutz, the president of our student association. Dave?
Thank you very much, John. Dear friends and fellow students, it's my pleasure at this time on behalf of Concordia Seminary Students Association and particularly our inter-seminary committee, which planned this event, to welcome you to our campus and to this 1962 version of the Lutheran Student Leaders Conference. I think that already we have begun the process of knowing one another better. I trust that this will continue during the next few days. I hope that our conference this year will prove of real value to all of the schools involved, since now for the first time our terminal schools are meeting together as a group. I hope that we're able to share mutual problems and mutual solutions to these. I hope at all times, then, of course, that we manifest our theme for this evening, one spirit and one body. And now at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce to you the president of Concordia Seminary, a man bearing a venerable synodical name, Dr. Alfred Fearbringer.
Thank you, Dave. Friends, fellow students, I'm supposed to welcome you also, and I suppose this is maybe also ascending. In a way, I guess I can say that I have a thing or two to say about what goes on the campus here, but the fellow who follows me has a little more to say about it. And so. But it's not just a phrase that I'm using, an idle phrase or trite remark when I say that I welcome you. I have three good reasons for welcoming you to the campus here. In the first place, if the Mohammedans feel that once in their life they've got to see Mecca before they die, then we surely believe every Missouri Synod member once in his life has got to come to St. Louis. I can't quite say Concordia Seminary, you see, because we have the Lutheran building here, we have Concordia Publishing House here, but then, after all, we run 24 hours a day and just about around the calendar, so we think that we're not overstating it when we say that every Missouri Synod member ought at least once in his life get to the campus here, and that's why we welcome them when they do come. And in the second place, I think I should welcome you for the task that you've set for yourself and the work that you're going to do here. Because we recognize that education isn't all in classroom discussions and reports and assignments and examinations and things of that type. They're important, and I don't want to minimize them. But it isn't all in this type of academic work. There's much more to education, as you've been told before, than there is these things that go on in the classroom and preparations for the classroom. And so also this matter of student leadership is something that's part of the educational program. And in welcoming you to the task which you've set for yourself and the thing that you hope to do and to accomplish while you're here, I'd like to point out that I don't think when we speak of student leadership, we're talking about going through some motions or some kind of play acting or some kind of preparation for future leadership. Not at all. I'm convinced that this is real, and this is for keeps right now. We need to look at this thing from the standpoint of our Christian vocation, of the station into which our Lord has placed us, and need to recognize that this matter of leadership, and leadership in the right direction, leadership with responsibility, is something that our Lord has assigned to us and that we need to take seriously and carry out aggressively in His name. And because I think so much of it and think it's so great, that's why I'm really happy that you're here, and I wish you much success in your work. Then I have a third reason for welcoming you, because I hope it'll not be the last time that those of you who are not students on our campus at present will be here. Now, those of you who have come from Fort Wayne, I feel confident you'll come here and you'll spend your months and your years here. But I'd also like to point out that in more than one way, perhaps our seminary serves as a unifying factor in the Synod, in this that we have a graduate program here which should be of interest to a growing number of students, not only who are alumni of our theological seminary in Springfield, Illinois, but also of the teachers' colleges and of Valparaiso University. And just for your information, of course, I can't help make a little sales talk or spiel. I'd like to let you know that we are trying our best now to set up a scholarship program, and we hope in the not-too-distant future to offer scholarships to alumni of the two teachers' colleges and of Valparaiso University, so that those who are interested in doing some theological study on our campus can earn a Master of Arts in Religion degree here. And we believe that this also will be a good thing for our church, as I pointed out, and particularly from the standpoint of future leadership. Now, I really should sit down, but then they gave me another job, as you know, that I'm supposed to introduce the speaker who succeeds me. And as I like to do, those of you who know me realize that that's par for the course. I always go about things in a roundabout way. So I went over to my bookshelves this afternoon, and I got the catalog of the Educational Institutions of the Missouri Synod for the year 1921-22, which happens to be 40 years ago. And it's really interesting. I think I almost got lost in it. For instance, the way they taught the courses then. Here is the junior class at Concordia Seminary, and here's one course that runs from September to April, and another one runs from January to Easter, and another one runs from Easter to June, and so on. And it was sort of nice, I think. You had a course now, and then again you didn't have it, and so on. And then the other interesting things here, I mentioned that for application you didn't have to, don't send your diploma. I guess they felt diplomas were too cheap in those days. But you make sure that you send your last report card to see whether you actually behaved yourself at your previous institution or not. Then, of course, you had to know English, German, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. And then this is the part that I'd like to call your attention. No charge is made for lodging at the seminary. All free. Expenses for board, light, medical, and hospital services are assessed pro rata every month. So it was a sort of communal society, I guess, by the Student Sporting Club. They carried that all out in those days. These expenses do not exceed $110 for the 9 months of the scholastic year. So just imagine that, $110 covered all the expenses that were necessary in those days. Well, as I said, I get things in a roundabout way. Anyway, in that junior class about which I told you there, the 28th name is Bo Harms, Missouri. And since the 22nd name happens to be my own, why, I know a little bit about I know a little bit about this fellow. You see, we sat in alphabetical order, and Fatty cornered in back of me. That's where O. Harms sat. Now, I'm sorry that we didn't do it in those days, that we didn't take some kind of poll. I guess they just weren't so common. That we'd ask the students to vote on, you know, who's likely, well, I don't know whether they say succeed. After all, we were going to the ministry. We weren't going to measure success. We knew that much already by secular standards. But who's likely to be a district president? There are three district presidents in the group, and I don't think, Ollie, that we would have picked anyone to be district president. These three to be a district president. One chap who is among those who has now gone to his eternal reward. In fact, out of the 88, 18 have, of 18 of whom I know, have been taken by our Lord to the church triumphant after service in the church. And one or the other of those, I think we probably would have chosen to be district presidents. Now, I don't want to say any more, though. I don't want to suggest that maybe we would have also wondered would anyone become a synodical president or not. But anyway, I'm very happy that out of this entering class at Concordia Seminary of 40 years ago, we now have Dr. Oliver Harms as president of the Synod. And I'm very happy to present him to you, and I feel it's a great privilege that I can bring him to you as a speaker.
Dr. Fearbringer, Mr. Spelling, members of the committee, and friends, all of you. Dr. Fearbringer just took my whole introduction. I was going to brag a little about having been his classmate. This I can still do. But a number of the things now I'll not repeat. I could give you the answer as to the poll that would have suggested who'd been a synodical president, or rather I could tell you who would not have won in that poll, I think, back in 1921. You gathered here, though, for some rather serious things, and I think that I should devote my time to that and not indulge in anything but just this serious matter for which you asked me to come here. And that is to speak to you about one body and one spirit. The letter of the Ephesians is the one out of which your theme comes. And of course it is the letter in which the Apostle Paul writes what the Holy Ghost told him to write about the body of Christ, the church. He has many wonderful things to say about this, and he comes to a very wonderful point in the fourth verse of the fourth chapter, on the basis of which I've been asked to speak to you this evening, when he speaks about the one body and the one spirit. Now, we ought by all means to keep in mind that the one body, of course, is made up of the members who are believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they have come to be that by the power of the Spirit. And that whatever we say about this one body, we say about the creation of God himself. Not about anything that we have done or about anything that we have made. We are what we are by the grace of God and entirely by the grace of God. There isn't a thing that we have done about making us to be the members of the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul has much to say about this in other letters too, about the behavior of the body, the behavior of the members of the body. But we are living stones fitly framed together into this one building which is, or this one body, which is a building of Christ, and it is the body of our Lord. It is the Spirit of God that made us this. And it is the Spirit of God who has done some other things with the members that he fitted to be members of this body. The Spirit of whom the Apostle Paul speaks is a Spirit, too, that gives a diversity of gifts. Not only is there a diversity of gifts, but there is a distribution of the same. A giving out, according as the Spirit decided that this giving out of the gifts ought to be. And these gifts have been given not for the purpose that just somebody might have these gifts, but that they be used. And these gifts the Holy Spirit has given to us too. And whatever we do, in the capacity in which we are now, or in that in which we're going to be later, or still later, all that we are, the Spirit has done, and we ought to bring our service with that in mind, that we are what we are because God made us that way. Now then, in applying this theme to yourselves, as a group of persons representing your student bodies in this leadership conference, you recognize, of course, that as students in whatever student body you are, and in this group here too, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, motivated by the Spirit, and you serve him in keeping with that which the Spirit has given you. Now the members of a body work together, do they not? In the introductory words that were spoken by the leader of this particular group here, there was a mention of an ascendancy. But really, we think of ourselves as members of a body who are rather parts of a whole, part of the complete body, not somebody more than others, but all of us, parts of a body that depends on the activity of the members of the body as being a joint action, a cooperation, and a cooperation that is completely necessary. This we as students would keep in mind, and also as a leadership conference, as we work together to carry this spirit again to the schools that we represent and to those student bodies that have sent us here. For we should sort of take from here into those larger bodies back home a unified spirit, as a spirit that comes and unifies all the members of a body, so that these members working together may represent one thought, one activity, and go about the work of giving service in one spirit. And this working together we do with the gifts that the Spirit gives. The Spirit has distributed to various members of the body certain gifts according to his will. There are many gifts, but there is one Spirit. He is the creator and the giver of the same, and the distributor of them, and the one who would impress upon us that we are responsible for the proper use of the gifts which he gives. This takes us to the next point, and that is that the service of the members of this one body is an unselfish service. Not a service that looks for ascendancy. Not a service that looks for being rated by others as being something unusual. But a completely unselfish, outgoing, all-giving service, one to another. to serve as members of the body. There is one, and all of us are members together of this one body. Fit it in according to the pleasure of the Spirit, according to the pleasure of God, given the gifts to use where we fit. We are indeed to keep in mind that the Spirit calls also for faithfulness, complete faithfulness, as members of a body. Faithfulness to all of the other members of the body. Faithfulness to Him who is the head of the body. Faithful to one another. And faithful in the outgoing service that goes to those who are not yet in the body. Faithfulness means a faithfulness to one another, a faithfulness to God, a faithfulness to the Spirit, and a faithfulness to that source from which everything comes that makes it possible for us to be one body. And this source is the blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there would have been no unifying power. The Spirit is the unifying power, but the shed blood of Jesus made this possible. Ours is a triune God, a creator, a redeemer, and a sanctifier. And because of the outgoing of the Lord Jesus Himself, who asked nothing for what He did, but did it all because of great love. Because of this, we are what we are as members of one body, framed by one Spirit who equips us and who directs us in our activity. We work together here at a conference. And I think I should say to you here that the letter that gave me the guidance for what might be expected here was one that had a thorough understanding of what this conference is for. It came from your leader, to be sure, who showed that this one body working together here should have, again, this unifying influence in the larger groups to which we return when we return home. So that later on, as we go out from the bodies in which we are students, still members of the body of our Lord Jesus, that our service once again in a larger area be one that is motivated by love and by service. Then when those of us who enter the field of the ministry as pastors, others the field of the ministry as teachers, others in the field of the ministry as laymen and laywomen in the world, that we all keep in mind that this larger service is one that should keep in mind that we are, after all, one. And may I inject here the thought that no Christian should be walking around, going around thinking that he is not in the full-time service of the church and of the body and of the Lord. Often when we speak of full-time service, we speak of pastors and we speak of teachers as though other people were not in the full-time service. Everybody's in the full-time service of the Lord. When the apostle was speaking about this one body, he wasn't talking about separating some from the body and making them something different. They're all together in one, fitly put together, each member serving the other. The hand will not say that it will not take food to the mouth. The mouth will not say that it will not chew, or the throat that it will not swallow. We have different gifts. We have some certain functions that are committed to us. But oh, what a cooperation. A one-body cooperation, which is guided by the one Spirit. And so we work together, not drawing apart, but working together, not seeking to stand out, but unselfishly preferring other before self in the service. Now this comes about when a person truly realizes that he should realize this when he has been made a member of the body. This comes about when a person recognizes what he has come from, or where the Spirit picked him up and brought him in. And this was not something very good that we look at, or isn't very good when we look at ourselves, what we were when the Spirit picked us up. What we saw in our nature, or what we can see in the human nature, isn't very pretty. It isn't something that fits into the body. Not this one. It is something that has to be changed. And something that is changed when the Spirit picks up a person and fits him into his place, into this body, and puts him into service. This we realize and this we recognize when we understand that we are as members of the body, we're made of Spirit, subject to that which the Spirit has given us, by which we have our guidance, and which gives us the principles of leadership, and that is the Word of God. Do you find the Apostle Paul or any of the writers not breathing this truth that what they are giving us is something that is divine? Something that comes from him, something that is given man by inspiration. This Word of God comes to us because the Spirit gave it. Gave it indeed to the people long ago, who transmitted it one to another at first by word of mouth, I suppose. And the whole truth of God preserved for us by the instrument God chose, and that is the body of Christ, the church. It has brought the word down to us, and it has brought this truth down to us, and we have it, and we need to see that we keep it, and need to see that we just breathe it and give it to everybody to whom we can give it. For this is the holy word of a holy God, by which we become what we are, members of the body of Christ, and the Spirit working through the word which comes to us. Now then, when we take hold of this word, as members of the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we recognize, do we not, immediately, that we are dealing with something that is ever so precious. We should deal with this in all solemnity. When we operate with the Word, we must remember that we are operating with something that is God-given, and something that makes people what we are today by the grace and by the blessing of God. So then, whatever we do
here at the conference, returning home to give the spirit of this conference to others. Finally, in the choosing of our life's work, or realization of the choice of our life's work, where we use the precious word of God. And in whatever activity we are engaged, we always go to the word. I think this is a big mistake. I think this is a big mistake that is made by so many people in the world today who think that they have to operate with something else. And that the body of the Lord, this one body, feeds on something else. So that when those who are given the obligation of doing so give what ought to unify and continue to unify, that they forget to go to the Word of God. This is the lifeline between God and us, between spirit and the body, between the Holy Ghost and us, the lifeline. This is why the Word for us who deal with this specialized service in the full-time service of the Lord ought to spend so much time with the Word. To look at it from every angle and to deal with it as God has taught us to deal with it. We ought not to make the mistake as members of the body to put something into this unifying power which isn't there. We should not read something into the Word which God hasn't put there. But, oh, beloved, we ought not to take anything out, lest we lose our precious heritage and all that it gives us. This is the thing in which we ought to be one. This must continue to be the chief thing with us as the body of Christ, that this word which God gives us, whereon we feed, and whereby this body receives sinew and muscle, strength and power, we must let it give it to us. Not taking anything out of that which this word gives. My dear young friends, and those of you who are leaders among them, representatives of the schools of this region, it is nothing short of a miracle. It is all of a miracle that we are the body of Christ. It is nothing short of the grace and the miraculous wonders of God that we have the gift of the Spirit, and that the Spirit has given us what we have as members of the body. When you think of the future, you cannot but wonder what will happen. But this one thought will keep us where we should be, doing, of course, all of this on the basis of what God teaches us, remembering who we are and how we got there, that we labor from day to day. Working from day to day, not worrying too much about what comes tomorrow, for the Lord takes care of His own. Right now, we should not be concerned too much about what we will be. We are only happy at what we are. And being who we are and what we are, we work, we study,
We plan, we cooperate in order that we might indeed give expression to the fact that there is one body and one spirit. This is the burden of my message, and with this I wish you the blessing of God, the blessing of that spirit who unifies you, who made you what you are, so that you may have the benefit from your study, from your planning, and that people who one day, not too many years hence, will have the benefit also from what you bring home, so that there will go out an army of people, members of the body, using the Spirit and His gifts as the Spirit gives opportunity, strengthening, unifying. God give you His grace. Amen.
Let us now pray together responsibly the litany for students which you have before you. Shall we rise? Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. God the Father in heaven, God the Son, Redeemer of the world, God the Holy Ghost, Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy upon us.
Be gracious unto us.
Deliver us, good Lord.
Be gracious unto us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious unto us.
Hear us, good Lord.
From all sins of our youth, from all misuse of thy gifts, from all harm of body and soul,
deliver us, O Lord.
From forgetting our baptismal vows, from accepting the standards of the world, from giving in to the evil desires of our flesh, from irreverence, from profane and impure conversation, from dishonesty and jealousy, from false ideologies,
deliver us, O Lord.
By the love with which thou hast loved us from eternity, by thy willingness to become man to redeem us, by thy vicarious life, suffering and death, by thy triumphant resurrection and ascension, by thy gift of the Holy Ghost and means of grace, by our incorporation into thy mystical body, the Church, and by thy coming again with power and glory,
spare us, good Lord.
We poor sinners do beseech thee,
spare us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to guard and protect thy Church universal, that it may please thee to bless and guide the leaders of our Church, that it may please thee to lead our nation in the way of righteousness, that it may please thee to prosper the work of all our colleges and seminaries, that it may please thee to keep all of our students faithful to thee and their Church, that it may please thee to give them fervor in Christian service, that it may please thee to lead all study and every research toward a fuller recognition of thy glory.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
For those who are led astray by false hopes, for those who are perplexed and cast down by the struggle to understand the world in which they live, for those who fail to give their best in their work, for those who are oppressed by fear of failure, for those whose health or livelihood is insecure, for those who labor under stress of insufficient time, for those who teach and have the care of students, for all parents and benefactors of students throughout the world,
we beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world,
grant us thy peace.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Now may the peace of God be with us this night and always.